We've been looking at what the Bible does say about the end of time. Now we're ready to contrast what the scriptures teach about the end of time with what man says about this subject. Now we've done some of this already. We've been looking at many passages about the end of time, and we've noted the difference between what people say about this subject and what the Bible actually does say. But now, beginning in this lesson, we want to compare these two to make the contrast even sharper. And we'll begin in this lesson with what the world will be like when Jesus returns. What is to be the condition of the world when Jesus comes again? Now, again, the Bible presents one picture on this topic, and men paint an entirely different picture. These are two very different perspectives, and in fact, they are opposite. Now, we'll begin with what the Bible says about what the world will be like when Jesus comes again. And the first passage that we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse 36, where Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, it's in Mark 13, verse 32, where we also find that even Jesus himself at that time did not know the exact day and hour of his coming. But in verse 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Then notice what he says in verse 40 and verse 41. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left." Now, ordinarily, people would be in the field to work. And in verse 41, he says that two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. So here we have people in the field and people grinding at the mill. Now, we will talk in another lesson about what he means when he says that one shall be taken and the other left. We'll talk about what that means and what that does not mean a little bit later. For right now, I simply want you to notice what Jesus said will be taking place when he comes. First of all, back in verse 38, he said that people will be eating and drinking. When the Lord comes, people will be sitting down to eat. He doesn't say that there will be worldwide drought. He doesn't say that the food supply is going to be poisoned. He doesn't say that people are going to be starving as a whole when he returns. He says that people are going to be sitting down to eat and to drink. Number two, he says that people are going to be in weddings when he returns. They're going to be marrying and giving in marriage. People are going to be going to and attending weddings. This is what many people will be doing when Jesus comes again. Now, how could that take place? If conditions are so bad in the world and in society that it's dangerous to go outside your house. And that's the image that you get when you listen to a lot of people talk about the condition of the world before Jesus returns. Now, of course, we're not talking about what will happen when Jesus returns, because we know that Jesus said that the whole material universe, including the world, will be burned up when he comes again. But what about the time leading up to that event? What about the last few years before Jesus returns? Many people have the idea that everything will be so catastrophic, that the laws of nature will be changed, that you can't go outside of your door without seeing fire and brimstone come down from heaven or demons flying around. These are the kinds of images that people have about the condition of the world before Jesus returns, and yet everything that we're looking at in Matthew chapter 24 denies that. Because in Matthew chapter 24, we find in verse 38 that Jesus said that people will be sitting down to eat and to drink. They will be going to weddings. And the question is, how could they go to weddings if everything is so dangerous outside that you will be unsafe if you just step outside of your door? And not only that, He says that people are going to be going to work and doing their work every day like they always have been. In verse 40 and 41, he says that there will be people working outside in the fields, and there will be people working at the mill. Now, all these describe normal, everyday life. And that's the condition of the world that we read about in the Bible when Jesus returns. Now, another very important passage, of course, is in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to read again 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're reminded again in verse 2 that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. Unexpected. The Bible tells us this here in this passage, and the Bible says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There will not be any signs. There will not be any warnings. Jesus is going to come when many people are going to be saying and thinking their attitude is going to be one of peace and safety. How are people going to be looking at their situation when Jesus comes again? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, the Bible tells us that people are going to be looking at the world and the condition of the world in their situation and say, peace and safety. Not gloom and doom, not all kinds of catastrophe and tribulation, but peace and safety. Peace, not trouble. Safety, not danger on every hand. So this is going to be the attitude when Jesus comes again. Now, that could not be the case. If the condition of the world is going to be worse than it ever has been, in fact, so much worse that there will be catastrophe and chaos and turmoil unlike anything the world has ever seen. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, we have a stark contrast between the way that people say the world will be when Jesus comes again and what the Bible says the world will be like when he returns. Now, let's compare this then to these modern beliefs. Man says that the world will keep getting more evil and dangerous as time goes on, and that it will eventually get to a point to where it is worse than it ever has been in the history of mankind. Now, that is a very popular belief, but it's just not true. Remember also that Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. That was the worst calamity, the worst tribulation in the history of the world. Now think about some of the problems that people run into when they start thinking like this. First of all, the evils and the suffering that people say will happen toward the end of time are present in any generation. In any generation that you look at, going back 2,000 years to the time when these words were said in the New Testament, you're going to find wars, you're going to find people dying, you're going to find diseases, you're going to find all kinds of natural disasters. And what men are prone to do in any generation is to try to predict when God has had enough of all the sin and all the evil on the earth. And how can any man know when God has had enough and is about to punish a society even, much less the whole world? Even the prophets of God in the Old Testament did not know exactly when God was going to bring a nation to its knees. They knew that God was going to punish certain nations because he had told them, but they didn't know exactly when, and sometimes they got impatient with God. Jonah did, Habakkuk did, Jeremiah did. And how much worse are we today in doing this kind of thing? Remember also that in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 and 10, The Bible plainly tells us that there is no new thing under the sun. So what one generation experiences is basically what the generation before it saw and the generations after it will see. Time doesn't change and the world does not change. Now somebody might look at this subject and say, well, what difference does it make anyway? What is the problem with speculating about the end of time? What's the problem with saying that there are signs today that the end of time is near? Well, God wants us to be ready in good times or in bad times. God wants us to be ready whether we think that times are the worst or times are the best. And if we are only motivated by the fear of an impending catastrophe, then what's going to happen to our motivation in good times? Our motivation for living for God needs to go deeper than that. Now, to make this contrast between what man says about there being signs before the end of time and what the Bible says about there being no signs before Jesus coming, I want to share with you just a few examples of how that people have tried to look at the times and predict the second coming of Christ in just the past 2 centuries. We're not even going back for the past 2,000 years. I simply want to look at the past 2 centuries here in this country. In 1843, William Miller, relying heavily on the book of Daniel, said that the Lord would return in the year 1843. Then, in 1844, after his prediction failed in 1843, he adjusted his calculations and he announced that 1844 would be the time of the end. Then, later in 1920, J.F. Judge Rutherford of the Jehovah's Witness denomination released a book entitled Millions Now Living Will Never Die. In 1948, Israel regained independence in the Arab-Israeli War. Many denominations saw that as a sign of Jesus' soon return. In 1970, Hal Lindsey warned of worldwide disaster as fulfillment of Bible prophecies in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. In 1980, Hal Lindsey wrote again, The 1980s, Countdown to Armageddon. In 1988, the World Bible Society published a book entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988. In 1990, in the midst of the Gulf War crisis, John Walvoord revised his 1974 book, which was entitled Armageddon, Oil, and the Middle East Crisis, What the Bible Says About the Future of the Middle East and the End of Western Civilization. In 1999, there was a national scare and in some cases a national panic because preachers were warning of a Y2K shutdown. In the year 2001, the 9/11 attacks led to war in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Preachers seized this opportunity, and they tried their best to connect these events with Old Testament prophecies, especially prophecies about Babylon. In the year 2007, on January the 2nd, Pat Robertson said on the 700 Club that he believed that terrorists would attack the United States in the second half of 2007 in a mass killing that would leave millions dead. In 2008, John Hagee released the book Financial Armageddon and the DVD The Oil Crisis and the Road to Armageddon. Then in 2011, Harold Camping said that the Judgment Day was coming that year, which of course it did not. Now, in light of all these failed predictions, we raise the question, when will men just go back to the Bible and take seriously what it says?